Our study tonight is out of the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, verses 20 through 26. God's punishment of Sidon for her oppressive contempt of Israel. One way one can sin is by harboring the ungodly attitude of disrespect or contempt toward another party. Incidentally, the reason why this is such a bad sin is every human being is made in the image of God. That every human being around us bears the image of God. A sin against a human being, another human being, is actually in part a sin not only against that person, but a sin against God, because it's a sin against a person who is bearing the image of God. This is why murdering a human being requires the death penalty, because it's a sin against not only just a human being, it's a sin against God. Person in the image of God. And there are other major crimes that are that way. Showing disrespect towards another human being who's in the image of God is actually also showing disrespect towards the Lord, because that human being is in the image of God. Well, this was the great sin of the city or the nation of Sidon against Israel. Actually, Sidon was a city-state, so it's a nation and a city at that time. And it's mentioned twice in Ezekiel 28, 20 to 26, that prophecy about God's punishment of Sidon. So we view the passage for our insight and our application. I would like to read the verses and then we'll look at them. Ezekiel 28, 20 through 26. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Sidon and prophesy against it. And say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Sidon, and I will be glorified in the midst of thee. And they shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall have executed judgments in her, and shall be sanctified in her. For I will send into her disease and blood into her streets, and the wounded shall be judged in the midst of her by the sword upon her on every side. And they shall know that I am the Lord. And there shall be no more a prickling briar under the house of Israel, nor any grieving thorn of all that are round about them, that despised them. And they shall know that I am the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God, When I shall have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they are scattered, and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the Gentiles, then shall they dwell in their land that I have given to my servant Jacob. And they shall dwell safely in it, and shall build houses and plant vineyards. Yes, they shall dwell with confidence when I have executed judgments on all those that despise them round about them. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God. Okay. Sidon was roughly 20 miles further up the Mediterranean seacoast from the city of Tyre. So it was closely associated with Tyre. Tyre was a city through which they did a lot of the trading. And Tyre was actually an island at the time on a rock, a huge rock that was about a half mile off of the coast. And it was built up with a great big wall around it. And the people of Tyre, of course, hired mercenaries from several different nations around. It was an impregnable fortress, so it was seen as the chief place to go. So the trade always came through Tyre because it was considered an impregnable city that couldn't be destroyed. So it kind of overshadowed Sidon. But Sidon kind of shared in the mentality and in the trade and so forth of Tyre, but not quite to the extent. So Sidon was 20 miles further up the Mediterranean coast from Tyre, and it was closely associated with Tyre, possibly meaning that the sin of pride that afflicted Tyre also affected Sidon. We can assume as much. However, pride is not mentioned in this prophecy against Sidon, where treating Israel with contempt is noted in both verse 24 and verse 26. And the word shoot that Ezekiel used for this sin of treating with contempt is an unusual word. It's an Aramaic loan word that appears only in Ezekiel and all of Scripture. When Ezekiel and the people of Israel got into captivity in Babylon, they got into an area where the people spoke Aramaic. And so they would pick up some of the lingo of the people there. We do this. We have a term, coup d'etat, which is purely a French term. But we use it in America for an uprising. Cul-de-sac is also a French term. A cul-de-sac is a street that doesn't go through. You go and then turn around and come back. But that's French. But that's actually a French loanword that we use in English. Well, when they got into Babylon, they started picking up some words that seemed to fit the scene better in Hebrew, and so they borrowed them. And this is an Aramaic loanword. It's a borrowed word, the word shoot, which means treating a person with contempt. Accordingly, we view the prophecy against Sidon for the lesson God has on the sin of disrespect, the sin of contempt. The Lord had a message of punishment for Sidon because she had roused his just anger. God directed Ezekiel to set his face towards Sidon to prophesy judgment against her. The idiomatic expression to set one's face toward is to set one's face against. So you set your face, you know, and you, we would say draw a line in the sand. Okay, you're putting your dukes up, getting ready to fight. That's essentially what God is doing here. Ezekiel was to inform Sidon that God was against her, that he would manifest his glory in her midst so that her people would realize that he was the Lord when he had executed punishments on her. Now, God's punishments would be twofold. They would involve a plague of illness. It's interesting that we have COVID-19, which is an issue. It's a plague of sorts, and God can often send that type of problem. But anyway, he's going to send them a plague of illness and the slaying of Sidon's people in her streets as a foreign army would invade her and slay her people from every direction so that there was no escape for anyone. And the people of Sidon in the end would realize that he was the Lord. In other words, when they were cornered, and the enemy was coming at them, and the enemy was intent on genocide. The enemy was intent on just killing. They weren't going to take any prisoners. And they realized that they were coming to the end of their lives. Then they would realize that God was the Lord. Now, as a result of Sidon's destruction, the house or people of Israel would no longer have a briar to prick or a thorn to hurt them among all their Gentile neighbors who had treated them with contempt. That's the Aramaic word shoot. Even Israel herself would realize that God was the Lord. To face constant contempt or constant treatments of contempt after a while becomes painful. It's like a briar or like a prick that hurts. A number of blacks upon the death of this fellow George, what is his last name? Well, Floyd. At the hands primarily of the white police officer who was leaning on his neck and so forth. That was a dreadful event, but it's extremely painful, especially for black Americans, because there's a history of race, and unfortunately the communists and the socialists have emphasized that whites are out to get them kind of a thing, and so it was especially a painful event for them. But in Israel, this became a painful event. Sidon, for century after century after century, would look on them with contempt. And it showed up in myriads of interactions that they had with them. And after a while, it really bothered the people. Well, this punishment and its effects prefigured the final deliverance of Israel from all of her Gentile oppressors in the yet future Messianic kingdom. Now, the Messianic kingdom is yet to occur. What's due next in the prophetic line is the rapture of the church. That's when God calls us to heaven to be with him. That's actually the next thing that comes after the current era that we're in is the Laodicean church era of Revelation 3, 14 to 22. But starting in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, remember John hears a voice saying, come up here, and instantly he's in heaven. And that prefigures the rapture. After the rapture of the church, you have the seven-year great tribulation, and then after that, Christ comes back, and we as believers come back with him to the earth, and he sets up his thousand-year reign, which is his messianic kingdom. And the Lord is looking forward to that. The Lord shifted from viewing his more immediate punishment as Sidon to the more distant deliverance of his people Israel from her enemies when he would gather them from the Gentile peoples among whom they were scattered in God's judgment, manifesting his holiness, which is his separation from sin in them, in the sight of the onlooking Gentile nations. See, right now, you have Jewish people all over the world. You have a lot of them in South America, some in Europe. Of course, some Jews have returned to the land of Israel. You have probably more Jews in Brooklyn, I think, than you got in Israel. There are millions of them in New York City. And as yet, they still haven't been regathered. But in that day, when Christ comes back, the Jewish people, all of them, will regather back to their land, and God is going to give them the land. And then there's going to be world peace. Well, at that time, the people of Israel would dwell in their own land that God gave to his servant and Israel's forefather, the patriarch Jacob. While dwelling in their land, in that kingdom, Israel's people would dwell securely. They would build houses and plant vineyards. And these endeavors not only took time to accomplish, but also implied time for people to enjoy, which implies a state of stability versus insecurely being uprooted by foreign invaders. There's a vineyard up the road from us, and they have a sign that says vines in training. And that sign has been there for year upon year upon year. It takes a long time for a vineyard to be very, very productive. So the picture of planting a vineyard and building a house indicated stability and security, because when you build a house, you want to live in for a long time. If you plant a vineyard, it takes a long time for the vineyard to become really productive. And then once it becomes productive, you want to stay there a lot longer to enjoy it. So the picture of building a home and a vineyard is a picture of stability and long-term longevity in the land, which means that they would enjoy a peace without being invaded. Israel would then dwell securely when God executed punishments upon all their Gentile neighbors who had treated them with contempt. There's the word shoot again. Not only is he looking at the contempt that the people of Sidon, but look throughout history, all the mistreatment that the Jewish people have faced. Of course, we automatically think of Adolf Hitler and what happened in World War II, concentration camps, but you think of the Spanish Inquisition when they went after the Jews. There have been oodles of problems that Jewish people have faced. Even in our country, every now and then, you'll have a Jewish graveyard that is desecrated. Someone puts spray paint on it and so forth. So the Jewish people have suffered a lot. But the day is going to come when God is going to honor these people and glorify himself through them, because he's going to give them the full brunt of the promises that he's planned to Jacob. And the Gentiles will see this, and the Gentiles will see God is blessing his people. And then Israel, the chosen people of God, would realize that God was their Lord. It's going to be a wonderful time. So the lesson is, besides the sin of pride and her close association with proud Tyre, Sidon had a deep disrespect for Israel, accordingly treating her with relentless contempt, a constant source of emotional pain to Israel, like a prickling briar or an embedded thorn. Understanding the suffering that facing incessant contempt produced on his people, God would punish Sidon severely with inescapable plague and the sword of an invading nation, so that both the people of Sidon, as they were being destroyed, and the people of Israel would recognize that God was the Lord who had seen and had been angered at Sidon's contempt, and that he had punished it. Now, this judgment also prefigured the time when God finally handles all the contempt Israel has faced at the hands of many Gentile nations down through history, punishing all the guilty parties and protecting and preserving Israel's honor in his kingdom. Huge applications. If we harbor an attitude of contempt or disrespect for any party, may we realize it is sin that God hates and that causes a lot of pain to other people that to whom we show contempt, and that God will severely punish this sin so that we must confess it to him and turn from it. Like we said, every human being is made in the image of God. Romans chapter 13 says, owe no man anything but to love all men. Malice towards any human being is something that is never called for. So God wants us to show kindness and to love all people. Now, if we ourselves face a party that treats us with contempt, may we not respond in hatred or be demoralized by the contempt, but be forbearing, knowing God in time will deal with the sin and with the sinful party.